5, please. Matthew chapter 5. You'll have to wait a minute for me to confess my sin. So, I'll be confessing some of your sins too. But maybe some of you don't have these problems. Maybe it's just me. That's possible. Let's stand, please. We're going to read all the Beatitudes again just because I want to read them. So we'll start reading in verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is the fourth or fifth week I have dealt with various aspects of the Beatitudes. I'll remind you so you just remember. None of these tell you how to get blessed. They all assume you already are blessed. We are blessed by God. We are blessed because of Christ. So anytime you're reading this, this isn't some kind of a magic potion to get the blessing. This is talking about a person that's already been blessed because they're in Christ. But it also talks about in the doing of these, you also receive some blessings too. Verse 7, this was about 3 weeks ago. Blessed are the merciful. I talked about an unbroken ring or unbroken circle. For they shall obtain mercy. Last week, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And this week, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. If you're reading a different version, you're going to see correctly, but not a big deal, it's sons of God, not children. It's one of those real, real technical things that I'm going to spend 1 minute explaining. Technically, if you're a son, you could inherit. So technically, regardless if you're male or female, when you're saved, you're God's son because you inherit all that God has. Got it? Children's fine. It misses that piece of the puzzle. That's the only difference. And weos always means son. Okay, and that's the Greek word. But we'll leave it at children. It's not a big deal because I don't think he's emphasizing your adoption rights. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons or the children of God. The next beatitude is, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Lord willing, that will be next week. But this morning, we're going to talk about blessed are the peacemakers. Before we do that, we must start with two corrections before we even pray. The word peacemaker is used in psychology in an extremely negative fashion. Who are peacemakers? Those are the people in a family that will do anything to make peace. Sexual abuse, physical abuse, criminal activity, but there's a peacemaker that makes the family function. This text is not talking about that kind of a peacemaker. Got it? You have to be careful because in the popular culture, if you say peacemaker to anyone with an education, they are not hearing what the Bible says. They're going to hear, the Bible wants me to be one of those people that always make peace no matter what. All right? The second thing it's not talking about is what liberals say, that Christians are to be pacifist. I don't believe in war, peace, love, kisses, and hugs. No war, no punishment, no jails, no penalties, peace. Do you understand? Those are two false ways of love. These verses is not talking about being a pacifist, and it's certainly not talking about being the peacemaker. And by the way, if you're the peacemaker, you already know you are. You're the person that no matter what the other family members do, you let them do it. But we're not talking about that this morning. We're talking about a peacemaker that Jesus is talking about. So we're going to talk about in the business of making peace. That will be our subject this morning. This verse and a lot of verses connected to it. Father, I thank you for this text. It is the text that I recognize that we probably avoid. We avoid it for the very reasons I just said. We either think it teaches pacifism, or we think it means I'm supposed to keep the peace even when the children are being sexually abused, when this has nothing to do with what you're talking about. Help us this morning to hear what it means to be a peacemaker. Help me, I ask, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to tell a true story, but it's not true of just one person. It's true of at least a dozen people I could name by name right now. I'll make it singular, though. He struggled to find peace. At least in some ways, he struggled to find peace. He was a veteran of Vietnam. He had only spent his regular tour in Vietnam, and I don't know how long that was. Mike, was that a year? Was that 1 year, 18 months, 2 years? 12 months, 20 days as a Marine. I don't know if he was a Marine. I think he was in the Army, this particular guy, but he was in Vietnam. While he was in Vietnam, he saw things. He experienced things. Hear me. Hear me. And he did things. Do I need to explain what that means? For some of you, I think yes. He did things. And he wasn't always able to hold those emotions, those fears, those nightmares at bay. When he was having these fears and emotions and nightmares, one of the things he would ask, and I've actually been asked this question by at least a half a dozen people, will God forgive me? For what I saw, what I did, and what I experienced. But actually, I don't think that was the question they were asking. I think they were asking this question. Can God forgive me? Now, for some of us, we have those silly goose kind of Christianity. Oh, yeah, Jesus forgives. I'm talking about people who did things. Have there been people done things in Iraq and Afghanistan? The answer would be yes. War brings out not good things in people. When it's you or them, if you're able, it's always who? Them. Folks, do you think you walk away from that unscathed? He tried to find peace. His real question was, will God forgive me or can God forgive me? And he finally found a source of peace. The bottle, alcohol, booze, maybe drugs too. Because by getting drunk, getting high, getting stoned, he would find little pieces of peace. But the problem was, if you know anything about alcohol, he didn't find peace quickly. His first beer made it worse. His second beer made it worse. Because about from beer one, beer two, beer three, and beer four, for you that know what I'm talking about, what does the first three or four beers do to you? It lets down your inhibitions, and your self-control of the mind, and all of a sudden, all of the horrors are not only there, they're worse than they ever are. So he was never able to drink a beer or two to get over his horrors. He would have to drink until he was totally, completely drunk to the place he could not even stand. Because three or four beers, folks, makes things worse. By the way, I think 10 beers makes it worse, but in a different way. You understand if you drink 10 beers, what happens to your mind? You don't have the ability to think. I had a friend that one time said this to me, these exact words. He says, my dad was in the Battle of the Bulge. When he came home, he crawled into a bottle and he never crawled out. Well, this guy would ask the question when he was sober or when he wasn't seriously drunk, a beer or two or three, he would always want to know, will God forgive me? Can God forgive me? Once he got to beer 5, 6, 7, and 8 and beyond, the drinking brought him some kind of peace. It was the peace that was a mind numbed by alcohol. We're going to discuss peace this morning, being a peacemaker, but we have to go someplace before we get there. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Obviously, this is not how you become a child of God, by being a peacemaker. But this is how you're recognized as a child of God. And in some ways, a person that truly has peace through the storms of life, other people will see and recognize the difference, and they will call you. That's the nature of it. A child or a son of God. So this isn't how you get saved. This is simply what people notice. Turn your Bibles to Romans 5, would you please? Romans 5. I'm going to read many verses. I'm not going to turn to them. Let's begin at the beginning. We're talking this morning about this subject, the business of making peace. Where does it begin? Well, it begins here. God's children. And my friend, please look at me. If you're God's child this morning, meaning, look at me, if you're saved, every single one of God's children have experienced this. There are no exceptions. So let's look at Romans 5:1, please. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, being justified or having been justified, how are you justified before God? By faith. We have what? Peace with God. How do we get this peace? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's children, number one, have experienced peace with God. And I want to emphasize experienced. Friend, I'm not talking about religion. Hey, every single child of God, the moment they got saved, and after that, it is part of salvation. You experience peace with God. You're not reading about it in a book. You're not looking at someone's picture. You know, I can tell you about the Grand Canyon. And the Grand Canyon is not my favorite place in the American Southwest. But can I tell you something about the Grand Canyon? It's grand. When you walk up near the edge and you're like, but I can talk to you about it. I can show you photos, but until you what? And please don't go there and try to hang off and take a selfie. If you do, let's get you a life insurance policy payable to the church. Take all the selfies you want. Hey, we'll help you. We'll help you. People are crazy today. There's that one part, I don't know what it is. Is it 900 feet or 1,100 feet straight down? And you're like, I don't even want to get in a distance looking at it. And I'm not afraid of heights, but folks, straight down, we have experienced, God's children have experienced peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith. Frank, can I ask you something? The guy I mentioned, which represents 12 different guys, that can never find peace, why do you think they crawl into a bottle? Because that bottle, Once they get deep enough into that bottle, they find a little bit of peace. Not that they have peace, but their mind is no longer functioning. I used to wonder, do you ever notice most people who drink don't drink a beer? You've got to get past the 3, 4, or 5 to the mind stops working. That's the point. Well, I'll tell you another story. He had 2 tours in Vietnam as a Marine, and he was tormented. He had his demons. And he also used alcohol to keep his demons at bay. From 1972, 1973, 1974, 1975, drinking became his existence. Every single night, drunk to the place he couldn't get out of a chair. Most of the time, he did not drink at home. He drank at a tavern and then drove home. He had problems probably with drugs. I don't know that for sure. He certainly had problems with womanizing. But look at me. He was just trying to get over what he did in Vietnam. What he actually... See, some of us just sit here and everything is a nap. Do you understand that you're going to stand before God someday? Have you experienced peace with God because of Christ? This guy, I don't know how old he is. He would probably be 70 or over 70 now, I'm guessing early 70s. Drinking became his entire life. He went to work every morning. He would come home somewhere between 11 and 2 in the morning, drunk, every night. And he would get, strangely, he'd get up and go to work. This was his life, 7 days a week, except he only worked 5. He could not find peace through his alcohol, though. Peace did not come in a bottle. I personally observed him in a church like this church, where the pastor preached the gospel, how to be saved and how to have peace with God. And I personally observed him squirming in his chair many, many times when the pastor said, you need to get saved. You must be born again. You need to have peace with God. And he would squirm, and he would squirm, and he would squirm. But the next thing you know, Monday he's back at work, and Monday night he's drunk again. He could never find peace in a bottle. He heard about sin, judgment, death. He also heard about the love of Christ. He heard about Christ dying in his place. He heard about the finished work of Christ on the cross, which saves us and gives us peace with God, like the text we just read. Therefore, being justified or having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He heard all of that. He heard it, he squirmed, he went home, he got drunk. He heard about salvation, he heard about forgiveness. Until June 12th, 1975. Am I being specific enough for you, all of you that are listening? June 12th, 1975. Very specific. He went drinking again, which he'd done every night. Couldn't get out of the horrors of his own sin. I don't know where he was drinking, but that night, he didn't come home at 11, didn't come home at 12. He didn't come home at 1. He didn't come home at all. That night, at 2 a.m., drunk, he ran into a tractor-trailer truck. And I say this because there's about 5 or 6 people that are paying no attention to this sermon. Wow. I think you think this is a joke. He hit that tractor-trailer truck, and I'll just say it kindly, he lost his head. I found out about it at 5 a.m. The day I joined the United States Navy, my brother-in-law was beheaded, drunk, in a car wreck, because he could never find peace outside of a bottle. Now you look at me, Filipinos. The Philippines is full of drunkards. I have started to realize drinking is a national habit there. The women don't drink, they go to church, whatever that means. And the men, every night, bouncing them back. Can I tell you something, friend? As a child of God, we find peace with God through what Christ did. Can God forgive me? The answer is no. Of course not. Can God forgive me because of Christ? The answer is yes, of course. If you think God is going to forgive you because you're nice, no. But if you understand I can be forgiven because the Son of God came to earth, died in my place, gave me opportunity to come back to the Father, and it's through Christ that we have peace with God. Friend, we're talking about in the business of peacemaking or making peace, but there is no peace unless you have experienced peace with God. Now, do I need to tell more stories? See, this isn't some remote thing that I never heard of. We have young people in this church that grow up in this church that go out and get snookered, sloshed, plastered. And they keep going down that road. And I'm like, what are you looking for? Have you never experienced, look at me, have you never experienced peace with God? Tonight, I'm going to put my head on the pillow. I have lots of things I've done wrong in life. But when my head goes on the pillow, before the pillow gets firm, I'm sleeping. You say, why? Because of Christ, I have peace with God. Romans, I'll just read these. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. It's peace, peace with God and joy in the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 6, verse 15 says, we as Christians are to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. My friend, when you come to Christ and you hear the gospel, the result of the gospel is peace with God. Ephesians 2, 14, for he is our peace. Christ is our peace. You're not going to find it in a bottle. Hey, look at me. You're not going to find it in a new car, a new toy, a new trip, a new place, a new location, moving, changing, going up, down, here, there. We're looking all over the place. Peace is found only in Christ. He is our peace. Chapter 2, verse 15 says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in ordinances, for to make in himself, in Christ, of the two, Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace. Verse 17 talks about Christ's earthly ministry. He came and he preached peace to you, which were afar off, that's us, Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, those are Jewish people. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace, how did Christ make peace? Through the blood of his cross. Friend, I'll say this and move on. It's a sad thing to look at people that you know are unsaved, playing a game. Now, I'm going to get to my sin in a minute, but one of my sins now is I can get so frustrated because I know some of you are unsaved. And you seem to think maybe if I'm just cool enough, fast enough, smart enough, have enough, buy enough, go enough, change enough, somehow the restless soul will never find rest except in Christ. There is no rest outside of that. No, my brother-in-law did not find any rest in a bottle. You say, do Christians drink? Well, that's another discussion. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. God's children have experienced, that's the word. We don't know about it, we have experienced it. Peace with God. Friends, you'll never be in the peacemaking business until you have experienced what it means to know your sins are forgiven, things are good between God and me. not because of me, but because of his Son, the finished work of Christ, the shed blood of Christ. Can I ask you all a question? Some of you have been coming for a while. Do you understand what we're talking about in this church? We're not saying by coming to this church you get peace with God. We're not saying you get baptized. You get peace with God through what Christ alone did. So you, friend, have to personally come to Christ, trust him, call upon him, his finished work on Calvary. He's the one who saves you. Not me, not a church, not a building, not a group of people, not a baptistry, not anything else. There's a second kind of peace that God's children experience. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful. This is Old English, but we all understand the word cares and concerns. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here it is, the peace of God. Friend, that is separate from peace with God. When you get saved, you experience the peace with God in the sense that no longer is there this problem between you and God. You have been forgiven because of Christ, but as you go on in life, we must then experience the peace of God as we go through the issues and difficulties and problems of life. We experience the peace of God. So God's children have experienced peace with God, and we've experienced the peace of God. That's a beautiful thing. Verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And then it says, the God of peace shall be with you. Friend, this is for the Christian. Look at me. You not only have peace with God in the sense that you're saved, you know where you're headed eternally. Now you start to experience the peace of God through all the circumstances of life. And there's a lot of bad circumstances in life. You want to know my sin? I have sins. Pastor Kwok has a list. Don't ask him for the list. Do me a favor. Why don't you open your hymn book? Open your hymn book to page 470. Cliffy did it, and it's his fault, even if it's not his fault. It's his fault. We did this song in Sunday school. This is not my favorite song, but I was thinking at 4:30 this morning of this song. You say, what were you doing up at 4:30? I woke up, so I got up. 4:30. You all hit the song? We'll just look at the first stanza. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweet, sweeter than psalm. In celestial, heavenly-like strains, it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like a infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. I like that song. Look at page 478. We just sang this song. Now everyone look at me. Do you understand the concept? We're talking two steps here. We're going to talk about peacemakers today. But it all starts with this. As a child of God, this is where it begins. We have experienced peace with God because of Christ. Through his shed blood, through his death, burial, and resurrection, through his finished work on Calvary, not through a pastor, priest, baptism, anything. It's through Christ and him alone that we can come to Christ and be saved, have our sins forgiven. But friend, after that, you have to live a life. So you not only have that peace with God, you have the peace of God and the God of peace in your life. But hold it. Here's my sin. And I have to confess this. I don't think I have ever worried in my entire life until the last 2 or 3 years. And I don't know if this is because I'm getting old and senile. Jenny? See, good wife. Good wife. She's thinking it, but she's not saying it. I don't know if this is an age thing. I actually think it's this.
Cliff?
I'm going to pick on you because it's your fault that we sang these songs. It's got to be your fault. When we sang both songs, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'm going to be preaching on peace this morning. And that means in somebody's life in this room, the other shoe's going to fall. Do you use that term? No, that's an idiom, too much American. Something bad's going to happen. You say you worry? Look, I think it's this. When I was young, I was so dumb, I didn't know what could go wrong. Now I'm older and I know what can go wrong. I mean, I have this lovely lady over here married to Samurai Dave. And Dave, I'm liking the mustache. By the time Bowder gets here, you're going to be Bowder number two, brother. Sister Lourdes is all of a sudden, well, she says she's medication's making her have vertigo. I'm hoping it's not Dave's bottle that's making you have vertigo. Do you hear what I'm saying, friend? When you get older, you start realizing what could go wrong. Excuse me, I'm using the wrong language. I know what will go wrong, given enough time. It's not only what could go wrong, it's what's going to happen. This is no joke. I have never worried a day. I don't think I've ever worried a day in my life, not even a minute. In the last 2 or 3 years, I don't want to call them a panic attack. But it's like, oh my, I'll just, because I start to realize stuff happens. You say, aren't you supposed to be a person of great faith? Oh, come on. What do you do when this happens? Turn your Bibles to John 14, would you please? John 14, verse 27. I'm going to read this hymn we were reading. When peace like a river attendeth my soul, my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. This song is not talking about getting saved. It's talking about the peace of God or the God of peace as we move forward. Pastor Kwok, sometime you should tell the story. You know the story of this hymn. This is one of the great stories. I'm not going to tell it this morning. My sin, oh, the bliss of the glorious thought. My sin, not in part but in whole, he nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Wow. John 14, 27, look with me. Jesus makes this great statement. This is worthy of an entire sermon on one verse. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And then the most important is the next words. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Which seems to mean, look at me, you can find peace in other ways. You can find peace in a bottle. You can find peace in 24-hour-a-day entertainment. Of a kind. You understand? Of a kind. He's saying, I'm going to give you peace, but it's not like the world gives you peace. By the way, drunkenness and drugs didn't start in the state of Illinois. Been around a while. He goes on to say one of my favorite phrases, let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Chapter 16, verse 33. Please. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have what? Peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John chapter 20, please. John chapter 20, verse 19. Look there, please. All right, everyone look at me. We'll come back to those verses in a moment. Are you a nervous sort? Answer the question. Do you panic? Do you worry? Are you the person that spends all your time counting your quarters? Answer the question. My secretary in St. Louis, she was not really my secretary, she did finances 4 hours twice a week. So she was there a total of 8 hours a week. Lovely lady, her name was Jackie. Not going to get into the reasons, but Jackie was the most nervous person I have ever met in my adult life. Look at me, she had reasons. She did. But Jackie was so nervous, she made me nervous. She was skitterish, fear, panic. Oh my goodness, that was every day, every day. And her favorite thing was to watch the weather. I used to call it the worry cast, not the weather, because that's all she did was watch it to worry. If she was from Chicago, for you that have any idea what I'm talking about, where would she have watched the weather on a TV station in Chicago? WGN, Tom Skilling. The other weather reports are 3 minutes. His is 30. He tells you and I like the guy. He's a likable person. After I watch it for 30 minutes, then I don't remember what he said because he's told me everything that I didn't need to hear. She would watch Tom Skilling. And Dave back here can tell you about this. You know, there are different kinds of weather models. They're in, and this is Jackie. If they gave the weather models, the North American model says 1 to 2 inches of snow. Then there's the global forecast model that said 1 to 3. And then there's what's called the, I like this name, nested grid model, 2 to 4. This would be Jackie's model, the North Shore voodoo model. And one of them said 1 to 2, one said 1 to 3, the other one said 2 to 4. The Northern North Shore voodoo model said 82 inches. Guess which one she would believe? She would call, oh, Pastor, it's going, and you're like, oh my goodness, I never heard that on any place. I don't know where she got her information. Other than, hear me, her entire life was stressed out. And she thought it was everybody else and everything else. And here's what should happen. She needed to come back and experience the peace of God. That peace of God that comes down. The God of peace. When we quit the worrying, start the praying, start the trusting, start the obeying, start the following. I will say this. I pastored for 8 years. I never changed Jackie one scintilla. Her husband died within a couple months of me coming here. She then lost her mind to senility for a couple of years. She never controlled her mind when she had it. Breaks my heart. Let's look at John chapter 20, would you? This is kind of an important situation. Can I ask you a question? How many of you have lost your parents? Raise your hand. Do you remember how that feels? Do you remember how that feels? Which one is worse? Is it worse for the mom or the dad, or is it both bad? I've only lost my father so far. Mom's still alive. Jenny's mom's still alive. I look, when I lost my dad, I had many feelings. Is it the worst thing that ever happens to you? I don't have emotions. Anybody that knows me knows I don't have emotions. For you Filipinos, I'm walang puso, okay? The day Dad died, the coroner came over, or whatever they called him in Jersey County. Police come. They got to make sure you didn't kill him. You know, they don't know. You say that's funny. It's not in this culture. They came in, you know, they knew, you know, they found out real quickly that Dad had been sick. He'd been on dialysis and actually couldn't do it anymore. The guy came and he said, one guy in his hearse, and he says, I'm going to take the body. But it was just him. So he said, who can help? So they wrapped the dad up in a sheet. And he wasn't a small man when he was alive. I could pick my dad up in the middle of the sheet with one hand. That's what was left after asbestosis. Can I tell you something? Does that make me sad? Yeah, there's a whole bunch of feelings. My friend, as a Christian, I have peace with God because of Christ, and I can have the peace of God. I can have the God of peace in my life. Will it be worse for my mother? Probably. For a lot of reasons. If nothing else, you never go home after that. Many of you have experienced it. Let's take a breath. You're going to read a text where the disciples have experienced the unthinkable. Now, you're religious. They were too, but they didn't get it. They had just seen the Son of God brutalized. Do you understand brutalized? Yeah, we have all that good stuff in the Bible, you know. I could call, you know, the song 10,000 Angels. All that's there. But folks, they're going through it. At the end of the day, they see his body, or they know his body, the women see it, put in a tomb. They're hearing some women now that are saying the tomb is empty, and they're like, yeah. Thomas is saying, mm-hmm. How many people have you seen resurrected recently? Well, Jesus doesn't mess around. He comes right into their circumstances. Look at John 20. Then the same day at evening, 20:19. The same day at even, being the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday, the day of the resurrection. When the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, they were afraid they were going to get crucified, came Jesus and stood in the midst. And what's the first words out of his mouth? Peace be unto you. Same chapter, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them, because we're very slow on the uptake, again, peace be unto you. Verse 26. And after 8 days, again with his disciples were within, and Thomas is with them now. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, what? My friend, let me say it this way. If I ask Louis Heras to do something, fix something around here, that's the last time I think about it. Louis's got it. If I asked of Robert and Louis, it might not get fixed. They might get in a fight in between that time. But I'm being funny. If I asked Mike, I asked many people, if I had something I needed them to do and they could do it, you would think in your mind, look at me, they got it. Do you know what the peace of God is? God's got it. God's got it. It's got to have that in your heart, friend. Because, look at me, bad things are going to happen to you. I'm not panicking because they're not going to happen. They might not happen today. But this stuff is going to happen. I've been here a long time. When I came here, Mike's parents were both alive. I remember seeing his dad down at the VA towards the very end. For years, his mother, I never saw his mother except every time I went to Aldi's. And I don't know why. We chose the same day and the same time. I saw his mom at Aldi's every time. She's gone. Pam's lost her mother. I've lost my dad. I'm talking, Robert's lost his. You better figure out how to experience the peace of God, because bad stuff is coming. And this isn't some cute song you sing. This is the God of peace. Let's say it this way so we get rid of the religion. God's got it. How's that? God's got it. We'll move on. Number 3. Let's look back at Matthew 5, please, verse 9. I got one other idea I'm going to share. I got two, but I'm only going to talk about one. Matthew 5, verse 9. Let me just say this before we continue. Yesterday I texted or called, I can't remember, Pastor Kwok, and I sent him a photo. If you were in Sunday school, you saw it, and I said, could you make a slide of that and project it for me? Are you listening? Tim Kowak, if you don't know anything else about him, and you can have your own opinions, but you cannot have a contrary opinion to this. Tim Kowak is about as faithful as rain. He's going to do what needs to be done. Can I say something? As faithful as Tim Kowak is, God is more faithful. God's got it. Every time. Well, Matthew 5, verse 9 says this. It takes us to another level. Not only God's children have experienced peace with God, you understand? No more problems of sin and fear and guilt and judgment. Now we're his child. We have also then, through life, experienced the peace of God, the God of peace through the circumstances of life, because God's got it. But obviously, the text says, blessed are the peacemakers. This is where you take the peace of God and the peace with God that you have already experienced. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, meaning then you're sharing that with other people. Number three, God's children. Everyone look at me. God's children, are you one of them? God's children want other people to experience the same peace they have experienced. I'm just going to say it. If you've never witnessed anybody, and there are people that have been in this church my whole 25 years who haven't, I question your salvation. Now look at me. We're all gifted differently. Some people are extremely good with people. Let me give you two men that everybody knows I love. I don't love him that much, but Cliffy and Dada. Everybody knows I love Dada. Are these guys' personalities different? Which one's more introverted? It's funny on Sunday night. We go to Culver's normally. We eat, we laugh, we talk, all kinds of goofy things. Dada is, in case you don't know, very smart, very disciplined, everything good that I like, and he is too. But Cliff knows everybody in Culver's. He knows people that don't work there, that just visiting. He meets them. He's my father. My dad was that way. One time when on our second anniversary, my dad and mom went with us on our anniversary, and we were down in Kentucky someplace. I couldn't find my dad. It was 6 o'clock in the morning. He went up to a place where they have coffee. There's like 20 people in there. He knew everybody in the room. It's like, Dad, why do you know these people? You don't need to know these people. That's Cliffy. Right, Judy? Does he embarrass you? Of course he does. I do the same thing to my children. They say, Dad, quit asking people questions. Don't talk to people like that. Now, look at me. Do you know what a peacemaker is in the Bible? It's someone who has experienced peace with God. And someone who has experienced the peace of God, who wants other people to experience the same peace. That's it. Did you hear me? Friend, you're telling me you can be saved and not talk to people about Christ? I didn't ask you to be Cliffy. Cliffy is an extroverted personality. I'm just saying you're going to tell people. This is where we live. How can we be silent? It's an instinctive thing. It's an impulsive thing. It is, for instance, you tell me. You come to me after the service and you say, Pastor Warren, we're thinking about taking a vacation to Arizona. Without thinking, I'm going to start telling you places you've got to see. Why? Because I have experienced those places and I want you to experience them. I'd say, well, Grand Canyon is a good place. Yeah. There's a place called Walnut Canyon right outside of Flagstaff. Not a bad place. I would tell you, if you go to the Grand Canyon, you want to go east a little bit to a little city called Tuba, Arizona, and see the dinosaur footprints. Then there's this guy over here, Rolando, that told me, and the sad thing is we had been past those before and never noticed them. He kept telling me there's a place between Tuba and Chinle, there's a place that they have, they're called Elephant Feet. We'd driven past him before. I guess we were talking. I'd tell you about the elephant. Who does that? Fawn, don't say that. That was you guys. Jim and I were being good. It was you guys being bad. Friend, I would tell you to go to Botatican. I would tell you to go to Monument Valley. I would tell you to go to the Four Corners. I'd tell you to go to Mexican Hat. I would tell you to go to Canyon de Chelly. I would tell you to go to the Painted Desert. I would tell you to go to the Petrified Forest. Why? Because I like it. And you're telling me, hey, you're telling me you have experienced peace with God and you never talk to anybody? I call you a liar. You cannot but talk. That doesn't mean that you're Mr. Outgoing and you talk to everybody you meet. Some of us are more Dada style, more quiet. How about this? Somebody comes in town that I'm going to meet, and I have to think where they want to eat. So I start thinking. I learned from Dave and Lord this. Papa Marcos, have you been there? My second question is, if you haven't, why haven't you? Then I would think, Rolando. Rolando's really ruining me. He's messing me up in a lot of areas. He'd want to say, no, this is a place called Gonzales. And it's not much to look at, but they have the best tacos, in my opinion, with the best guacamole, and the beans are good. And yes, we need to go there this week. Then you might want to go to Los Naranjos, which is up north. They have very good elote. Or you might want to go to N&T's or Zogos or Emily's or look at me in the eyes. Do you know what I just did? You're telling me you have experienced peace with God and you can't talk to someone? This isn't soul winning. This isn't gimmicks. This isn't tricks. This is something, friend, right now, if you're saved, what's the worst thing that could happen to you? You could go to heaven. But I don't want to tell anybody. Secondly, you have experienced the peace of God in the difficulties of life. All witnessing, look at me, all peacemaking is this. What I have experienced, I want other people to experience the exact same peace. How about that? When you see somebody crawling up in a bottle, does it bother you? I'm asking you a question. Does it bother you? How could it not? When you see somebody caught up in money, games, busyness, running, playing, ignoring, entertainment, and you think they could experience peace with God and the peace of God, blessed are the peacemakers. They simply share with others what God has given them. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you.